It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome to another round of the best of SDHAM on the SDH Network. John Nelson here with you, host of Soccer Down Here AM. And from 9:05 until 11, whenever, traditionally, Monday through Friday, what we do with the SDH Network. And you can watch it on the SDH Network YouTube channel, on X, or on Twitch. As we take you through the world of soccer, we go with all of our experts, some of the cool stories that happened during the week, and we end up having great conversations with you and everyone on the Twitch pitch that decides to be a part of the process as well, with all the newsmakers, experts, pundits, and cool storylines that come across our desk every Monday through Friday. This week, come at you from a couple of different angles. First and foremost, Atlanta United has a three-match homestand that a lot of expectations are very, very high with. So what we decided to do is what we traditionally do is we catch up with the play-by-play voice or someone who covers the upcoming opposing team to get their thoughts on what happens or what they anticipate happening in the matchup coming up. This time around, Atlanta United is going to be hosting NYCFC. And for the NYC conversation, what we did is we caught up with longtime play-by-play guy for NYC, Glenn Crooks. And here's our conversation on SDHAM about NYC and what to expect and what he has seen so far with a new head coach and with the personnel on hand.
We are in a no-dally zone, officially. Hi, I'm in a hotel room in Perry, 2 hours south of Atlanta. That's why the lighting is what it is and my posture is what it is. Now, we have promised to get somebody out by the bottom of the hour because he's like globetrotting and has things to do. So we're going to go ahead and bring in Glenn Crooks and discuss the fall of Kirby Smart and everything going on with Georgia football. Glenn, thanks for dropping by on a Friday, man. Thanks for coming on.
Well, you might be surprised by this, but I just wanted to see. I'm going to put, I've got a microphone. I'm good. You hear me better now?
Yeah. You're good. All right. You're good either way. You're good. You're solid.
So, soccer has engulfed my life to the point where I only occasionally really focus on Georgia football. But I was curious and heard that a lot of transfers and
oh yeah,
and that Kirby went crazy after the game, and and I do have someone I know who's pretty close to the situation, so I don't know all the details, but I'm pretty it's even a guy who you think would just be cool, and because he's been there before, coaching is a very pressured occupation, no matter how much you're making, and especially at a place like Georgia where, you know, every move is monitored. And but coaching at any level, there's pressure. When I'm in season, I don't sleep at all. Not a wink.
No, right there with you, brother. Before you do go, I do wish that you would cut the promo for the hosting programming that you do on SiriusXM so folks can sit there and follow what's going on, especially as you look at catch up with coaches and such. Main reason we brought you on, as we always do, twice a year in the Eastern Conference, when Atlanta and Atlanta United take on NYC, it's our chance to catch up with you and see what's going on up there in the tri-state. So I'm going to go ahead and ask off the top, how different is the vibe with Pascal as head coach than it was last year? How different are things right now?
Well, I think the thing that I've heard, and I spent a couple of weeks with them out at the Coachella Invitational as well, so I've gotten a really good feel for how preseason went and in the early part of this season. Pascal Janssen, the new coach, has now coached 11 games, as he put it to me yesterday in our pregame briefing. So he's counting the preseason games almost equally, because we were talking about the absolute anemic attack a week ago in Columbus, but still getting the point nil-nil. And he said he'd never encountered anything like that in his 11 games. Plus, in his entire coaching career, he could only think of one time, and that one time at Alkmaar in the Netherlands, they still got in for a couple of shots. No shots on goal for the third time in history for New York City FC. And I was going to say that's quite an accomplishment, but it goes more in the other direction. But in terms of the comparison, and I know Nick very well, and it seemed that preseason and everything is just a little bit more intense and very transition oriented. So the thing I've been looking for early in the season is to see if indeed they transition with more urgency. And I can't honestly say I've seen it in practice yet. That is, in practice in the games. But that is one thing. And I do feel also, and I think some of the results of the more intense preseason is that there were some injuries. Thiago Martins, their DP center back, he trained the first 3 days of preseason and didn't play another minute. No competition. No. So his preseason is now, I kind of kidded with him yesterday. I said, well, you're at the tail end of your preseason, which is now going to be, 6 games into the regular season. And it's true. But he had a calf injury, and there were soft tissue injuries that we didn't see a year ago. So I'm just wondering if, the players, I'm sure next time around, if they're still around with Pascal, they'll be a little bit more prepared for the preseason. And I'm not saying 100% that's the result of some of these injuries. Kevin O'Toole was down. Tavon Gray is still down. Andres Pereira was coming off hernia surgery. They brought him back, but now he's down. You just wonder. Keaton Parks has a foot injury, which he's been playing on, but had to come out a half hour into the game against Columbus. Looked good in training yesterday, so I suspect he'll be back. So there's these little things going. So I would just say the word intensity would be the defining difference.
When you with all of these notations and injuries and subheadings and things, what does your vibe tell you about a starting 11? What's it going to look like, you think? If all things being equal, how are you envisioning a starting 11 now?
Well, I think he's gone with when everyone is available, and Tavon Gray and Micha Ilinic, I think they were still in a bit of a battle at the fullback slot on the right. But it's Kevin O'Toole, Burke Risa, Thiago Martins, and Micha Ilinic. It's going to be Justin Hack and Keaton Parks if he can go in the midfield. If Parks can't go, you get to see a 17-year-old Johnny Shore, most likely. Maxi Morales, the 38-year-old, will, I'm almost certain, start at an attacking midfield. And then up top, that's where it's not 100% certain. There's two positions that I think are pretty solid. Alonso Martinez, who's the only guy scoring and contributing pretty much, and Hannes Wolf, who's had two or three very good games so far after kind of a sluggish second half last year. The other winger, it's unclear. Is it Agustin Ojeda? Is it Julian Fernandez? Is it Montsep Bakrar playing on the wing and then teaming with Alonso Martinez a little bit? So that's where it's a little unclear. But there won't be too many surprises in the starting 11, I don't think. And so, Matt Fries in goal.
No doubt. And so the other subplot attached to this is the easy one for those of us that cover the games, and it's the Ronny Dyla derby.
Yeah.
And so what is your best NYC story involving Ronny Dyla and you could take it that way. But what's your best Ronny Dyla story to personify and have folks here in Atlanta understand the kind of coach and individual that Ronny Dyla is?
Well, if they don't know this story, this is a good one. So he is the former Celtic manager, you know, Celtic Park. And it's just that whole scene in the Scottish Premiership. It's Celtic and Rangers pretty much. So the old firm, that match is massive. It's a massive match, one of the oldest rivalries that we know. Well, the old firm was, while Ronnie was manager of New York City FC, the old firm was played on a Saturday or Sunday morning. I think it was a Saturday morning. And Ronnie went to Jack Dempsey's in mid-Manhattan, which is also a City supporters bar. He wore a Celtic kit, and he sat and drank pints with supporters on a Saturday morning. He didn't have a game that day, so it was a day where there was no game. That's why I'm thinking it was Sunday morning, maybe. A game on Saturday, and he went in on Sunday morning. But he hung out with supporters for two or three hours, you know, just loving the game and having some pints. And then the other fun Ronny Dyla story, these are all off the field things. I like Ronny. I sure hope I get to meet up with him when I'm down. We fly in today. Is in Nashville, I found out that his favorite song, and you should ask him this sometime, his favorite song is Whiskey Lullaby. And I cannot remember the country musician who made it popular, but like a million country musicians have sung this song.
Right.
But it's sort of an emotional song, but a really nice song. And so what he did in Nashville, Broadway, you know, all those bars and pubs along Broadway. I don't know if you've been to Nashville, but there's like, you know, 20 lined up on one side, 20 lined up on the other side. And the story goes that he just went into every one and requested Whiskey Lullaby, put like a $20 bill, you know, in the bucket and said, will you play? And he just, so he's, Ronny is a fun guy. He's serious about his soccer. I'm certain that the players enjoyed playing for him because he's a good man manager. He's a good leader. When he was at New York City FC, Nick Cushing, who got sacked last year, became the head coach after Ronny left. But Nick did a lot of the tactics and did almost all of the training of the team. So Ronny, his strength at the time anyway, was more, at least for New York City FC, was his man management, his leadership, how he got the best out of each player and got the best out of the team, which, as we've learned over time, you know, that's why they call that person a manager, because they have to manage, even though we call it a head coach, I guess. But right. I like calling them managers because that's really what they are.
I remember off the top of my head the Brad Paisley, Alison Krauss version, I think, of Whiskey Lullaby. I think that's, or was it?
Oh, and I love Alison Krauss. I don't know if I've even heard that. It's a single. No, it's a male artist who's made it really popular. And I honestly can't, I like country, but I'm not a massive fan. So I can't quite
see now. You're going to have me search here. Whiskey Lullaby.
Eddie, I think there's an E somewhere in there, you know?
Alison Krauss and Brad Paisley back in 2003. They did the version. Man. Right. Song written by Bill Anderson and John Randall.
Wonderful.
Okay, so 03, the Paisley Krauss version is the one that I know. Okay, you mentioned the starting 11, all things being equal for NYC, and so let's play the feud here a little bit.
All right.
We do the TV open. You and I are sitting in the booth. We do the TV open, and at the beginning, you know, whoever's doing the match, they always have player to watch. So let's go to player to watch for NYC, and then after you do player to watch, give me somebody on level two that's not really going to be, you know, spot shadow, and everybody's going to be following this particular individual back and forth for an entire 90 minutes. But if things are going well for NYC, then this individual outside of the player to watch is making things work for NYC. Who would your player to watch be in this matchup against Atlanta United? And then who's your second level player for folks to pay attention to?
Well, top tier level, it has to be Alonso Martinez. I mean, if you haven't watched the New York City play, or you don't watch them often, I mean, he's their center forward, striker, however you want to define him. And he has 22 goal contributions in the 33 regular season games he's played for New York City FC. And most of those have come since the middle of last season. I mean, he's been incredibly productive. And then you saw he was on international duty with Costa Rica last week. And New York City got nothing. And Moncef Bakrar, who was the starting striker at the beginning of last year. I mean, he's an interesting story, Alonso Martinez. Bakrar was the starting striker. There was no reserve striker in preseason camp. So again, at that Coachella Invitational, which I was at the previous preseason as well, Alonso Martinez, who was brought in as a wing, he basically got shifted into the striker role just out of necessity, because, you know, Bakrar can't play every minute of preseason. You don't do that to anybody.
No.
So then Martinez moved in, and he did okay, but there was nothing striking about his move into striker. And then he scored a hat trick off the bench against the San Jose Earthquakes. And I know you'll say, well, what's that all about? But he did it like in a 10-minute period, and it was startling, and it was as a striker. And from that moment on, he became a more regular focus for Nick Cushing to put him in the lineup. And 16 total goals last year, and then one in the playoffs. And so he's easily the player to watch. And he knows how to ride the last line. He'll be offsides a couple of times because he's just always riding that line. And he's got very good pace, explosive first step. And I don't think, having watched Atlanta, I don't think that there's anybody in central defense that can keep up with him if he gets the step on him, you know, and that's just from what I've seen. And then it's up to Guzan to, come up with the save if that does occur. So they look for him early, and we'll see if they can find him. The tier two player, or the one that you're, how did you phrase it? You know, if player to watch and guy who's under the radar. Level.
Yeah, the under the radar.
Like an under the radar guy.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't know how well people know Justin Hack, but he is a homegrown player. Justin Hack, in his New York City career, first of all, he was signed in 2019 and played three games between 2019 and 2022 for the first team. He was loaned out a couple of times. He was kind of the forgotten guy, and he was the victim of New York City not having a second team. Like when MLS Next Pro was born in 2022, they added this second team. Well, Hack had already, you know, he's already now pretty ensconced with the first team. But he paid that price along with several other players in his position. So got loaned to Hartford. Some guys were getting loaned to San Antonio in USL Championship. But Hack has been really, really valuable. And the reason he's been so valuable is his versatility. So he's mostly come in to help the team when somebody goes down injured. That's been his. It was Maxime Cheneau first, back when Cheneau was part of the team, came in and played center back. He's played fullback, and he's played midfield. So he's done all three things for New York City, and I would be shocked if he isn't a starter in the midfield alongside either Keaton Parks or Johnny Shore, as I was saying before. So he's like, and he's going to have an important role to try to bottle in Latte Lath, come double down on him or whatever, or prevent the passes into him, whatever he's got to do to make that happen. So Justin Hack is the next guy I would go to, just to see, because he's, New York City has to boss the midfield in order to have success in this game, and they did not last week. And I know that that's been something that's been emphasized in training this week, very much emphasized.
See, now I'm sitting here writing down boss the midfield, and so that's going to be one of the thought patterns that we're going to have to keep an eye on for this particular match. What does your gut tell you about this particular matchup this weekend with Atlanta United and NYC? What kind of a match are you expecting with these two?
I think it's a hard one to decipher because, you know, Atlanta, from what I've seen, I saw the last game. I still have to watch the Miami game when you had all your troops. I did watch the last game where, you know, during the international break when there's no Almiron, no Sleaze. I can't remember who else was missing, but those two that are the
eight
ones
other dudes.
Yeah, the other dudes. So, you know, and then the two prior games with everybody, you couldn't score a goal. So I'm not sure. I would imagine Ronnie Dyla, new coach, Pascal Janssen, new coach, new players in for Atlanta, not so much with New York City, but still, I think both teams, I think it's fair to say, are still trying to figure out their head coaches also and how they want things to go. And they're still working those things out. So for me to, the only thing I would say is that, I mean, and this is a fascinating statistic to me, which was read to me last night, and I had no idea. In the last 10 meetings, all competitions, Atlanta has not beaten New York City, no matter where they've played. I'd like to see if them go out in the park and play four aside, see if they could win that one. So I guess you could say Atlanta United's due. But I think the irony of this game for me, and it's the Ronnie Dyla thing, mm-hmm. and it's the first thing I thought of, is that at Mercedes-Benz with Ronnie Dyla in the New York City FC technical area, Goody Tor-Aronson scored a free kick goal in the 90th minute past Guzan for a 1-1 draw in October of 2021. New York City didn't lose another game the rest of the year through MLS Cup. And if they hadn't tied that game, there's a very, very good chance they wouldn't have even gotten into the playoffs. So it was just this massive moment in New York City history. Ronnie Dyla was the coach, and now he's on the other line. And it's in the same building, which he must have some fond memories of that building from that moment, I'm sure.
No doubt about it. One question from our folks in the Twitch pitch before you get out of here. Alex is asking, is that a CRT TV behind you?
I don't know what CRT is. What I will tell you it is, the thing is over 20 years old. It's like one of these rear, what do you call them? The rear...
rear projection?
Rear projection. I can't believe it still works. I still watch it sometimes down here, but there's no HD. But I do have my cable, the cathode ray tube. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I believe that's what it is. The reason it's still here is because I don't know how the hell to get it out of my basement. It weighs about 2,000 pounds, and it wouldn't fit through any door or up to – I don't even know how I got it down here. So I will have to deconstruct it someday to get it out of here. But right now it's a kind of a piece of furniture. I put things on top of it and to the side of it, and occasionally I put it on and watch it just for old time's sake.
That's fantastic. All right, cut the promo for me so you can get out of here. What can folks listen to you 9 days a week when you're doing stuff and when you're not doing stuff with NYC? Where can they pay attention to what's going on with you?
Well, anybody that subscribes to Sirius XM, you should know there's a soccer channel. It's channel 157. Yes. So it's 24/7 soccer. And I'm one of the hosts of some of the local programming, but I have a unique show. It's pretty niche. It's called the Coaching Academy, and I essentially talk to coaches. I talk to players, but nutritionists, performance coaches. When I get off in a half hour, I'm going to be interviewing Dawn Scott. Now, people might not know her name, but she's one of the top high performance coaches, sports scientists in our game. She was with the U.S. Women's National Team in 2011, 2015, and 2019. The players, look for their quotes, they swore by her. So she's really, she's massive in the industry. My guest last week was Tab Ramos, who I brought on to talk about the U.S. Men's National Team, who he follows closely for obvious reasons, former player, former coach in the system. He went to four U20 World Cups. He thinks Zach Steffen should be our goalkeeper. That interview is one, if you're a national team fan, that's one you're going to want to catch, because it's not this big negative thing, but it's really, I think, a constructive conversation about the U.S. men. So it's every Tuesday it airs, and then it repeats a little bit, but then you got to go on the app. So if you're a subscriber to SiriusXM, you need to get the app. I use it all the time because I like listening to music too. And of course, my favorite station is E Street Radio, Bruce Springsteen, baby.
Yeah.
Outside of the soccer channel.
Yes.
Yeah. Outside of the soccer channel.
Absolutely true.
And by the way, it's you're right. Brad Paisley is the guy.
Okay.
On Whiskey Lullaby. He's the one.
Okay. So the Paisley Krause version is the one that we have to keep an eye on. That is my personal favorite of that particular remix.
Well, here's what you do. I don't know if you ever bring in Ronnie Dyla onto your show, but you have to get him on your show.
Okay.
And unbeknownst to him, just intro his segment with this song. Oh, he will freak out, man. Have him for the however long you need him.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, yeah. That's the kind of intel that we love here. As always, my friend, great to see you. Be all safe, right, traveling down, and we will catch up with you soon. Okay, thanks for all the intel. We'll catch up.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glenn Crooks, great conversation. It's always great to catch up with him to get the lowdown on everything on NYC and how things are with the Pigeons. Once again, John Nelson here, the host of Soccer Down Here AM, Monday through Friday, 9:05 Eastern time until traditionally 11:05 Eastern. We will go long on pretty much every occasion. But what we do is we take you through the world of soccer, and we get to do that with a lot of help from a lot of friends that get to watch the sport on a daily basis. One of those friends comes from Apple TV, Tyler Terrens, who is calling the matchup with Atlanta United and NYC this upcoming weekend with his broadcast partner, Kindred E. St. Aubin. Stop by midweek to discuss what he has seen in Major League Soccer in the first month plus of the season. So here's our conversation that we had on SDHAM with Tyler Terrens.
We always talk about the hot tag. You know, there's always the face in peril that's getting beaten up in the corner, and he finds a way to sit there and duck under all of the right hands, and he finally gets the somersault, and he makes the big dive, and he gets the tag, and you get the fresh face. You get the fresh energy coming in. Rock and Roll Express used to have that a lot. So Dylan has tagged out. And for the triumphant return, I don't have trumpets. I don't have a trumpet fanfare. But it has been quite some time since this show is being brought to us by the letters Tyler, that Tyler Terrens has been on the program. And so now what we do is we tag in and go hot tag. Tyler, it has been entirely too long, my friend. Great to see you. Welcome back to the morning show.
I can't even remember the last time that I was on the show with you, but I'm glad to be here. I'm pumped to talk some soccer, and I'm pumped to come back to the ATL and to the Benz.
No doubt about it. So, like I said, it has been entirely too long, and what I have told the powers that are with the league, it's like, look, anybody that we invite in, they now have that studio link. So if they're bored in a hotel room on Friday, because literally from Friday, our 10 o'clock hour on Friday is mass hysteria where we preview everything. And so literally now that you have the golden key to come in and hang out at any time, literally if you're in a hotel room bored out of your mind in the 10 o'clock hour, you can come in, say your piece, duck out, and there's no repercussion. Literally, it's like, oh, Tyler came in, he said something. It's like, I'm out. Then you leave. So then you do the Irish goodbye. So that's all good. So you now have the golden key. So you can come in at any time.
I love it. And I'll tell you what, you must be reading my mind, or at least you've been talking to too many MLS season pass people, because getting bored Friday in the hotel room is that is way too much of an occurrence recently. But no, I love it. And I certainly am going to take you up on that, because I love just being able to pop in on these sorts of shows and really dig your show. And I'm certainly going to take you up on it.
Excellent, sir. we thank you for that. All right. So, since this is your first time here this season, let me go and we'll talk the GBU, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the different. So what so far for you in this season classifies itself as the good, the bad, the ugly? Mm-hmm. And I was talking with Dylan Butler from MLSsoccer.com, and the ugly already is in Montreal. And the difference. So take the GBUD and address, if you would, please, sir. What is sticking in your mind after the first month of match days?
So the good, I mean, I think that you immediately gravitate towards one team in the East, one team in the West. That's Bradley Carnell and the Philadelphia Union. I don't think anybody really thought much of this group and sort of what he was going to be able to do with them. But if we know two things about Bradley Carnell, he's going to bring a lot of energy and he's able to operate on a tight budget. And that's what you need in order to succeed in Philadelphia. And then obviously the Vancouver Whitecaps. And I was fortunate enough to be on the call for their second leg win on the road, quote unquote, in a different stadium, because Monterrey got pushed out of their own stadium for a Shakira concert. And Jesper Sorensen's hits do not lie. Okay. This guy is a pleasure to talk to. He used to work in the media and he clearly has this team cooking in some type of way. And we're able to, you know, get a result before the Chicago loss with some guys injured, and they've been really, really fun to watch. So those are the two good. The bad, I would say, is a team like Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a team like, I don't know, the Portland Timbers, even though they just picked up a win over the weekend, and sort of trying to figure out exactly what they are. And then, as you mentioned, the ugly, I think two Canadian sides, CF Montreal and then Toronto as well. I saw Toronto on the road against FC Cincinnati. That was one of the worst Major League Soccer sides I've seen rolled out in a long, long time. And to be fair to Montreal, I actually think that everything that's gone on so far this year is no fault of Laurent Courtois, is no fault of the players. To not invest in a DP transfer since 2014, as put out by our good friend Tommy Scoops, Tom Bogert over at Give Me Sport, that is truly the ugly. And God bless all of the coaches who have come through, and that's 12 coaches now going to be in 14 years of Montreal's existence. They are quite literally doing the Lord's work. To be able to, you know, take the job and say yes, and know that you're probably going to get fired within 18 months, regardless of what your results look like, unless you're Wilfred Nancy. I don't know who would say yes to that job at this point, because it's a death sentence.
I think you, like I said, you get to 12 wins, no matter how many matches it takes to get you to 12 wins. That seems to be the marker for Joey Saputo, which is MLS's version of Watford. Literally, that's what popped into my head. It's like, yes, you're Watford. I get it now. And you used to be Wolves, but it's Watford.
Yep.
And it's mind blowing to me, because it's a great city. It's a great soccer town. It's a great football town. And Stade Saputo, when it's rocking, is a difficult place to play.
Yep.
But now, and this has been part of the discussion we had yesterday when it was announced, and when Tom Bogert came on the Birthday Boy and he announced it, and we looked at it on social media and everything. Who's going to take that gig? I mean, look, you had Wilfred Nancy and you had Thierry Henry. You had them as managers. Now you just, who's going to take that gig?
But to be fair, Thierry Henry left because of personal reasons. And it was during COVID and a strange time in the world. And we're not going to fault him for that. And right, Wilfred Nancy certainly saw the writing on the wall that's painted with Joey Saputo, you know, whatever on it. And he ends up taking a great job in Columbus and has the backing and the resources. And that's a huge step up, even though it's in our own league.
Yeah.
Now you're left with this crazy situation. And like, you look up and down the roster and they're like, Prince Owusu, a guy who wasn't even supposed to start in Toronto, is your big offseason get? I mean, like, what are we talking about here? I was talking to the French commentators for MLS season pass, Frederick Lord and Vincent Detouche, and Vincent actually wrote a book, it's only in French, unfortunately, on CF Montreal and the history of the club. And chatting with him, it's just like, you know, that's the team that they quote unquote, you know, follow around, at least from a commentary standpoint. And it's just destitute. Like, it's just truly unbelievable to look at the lack of resources and the lack of investment from the club. And I'm not even talking about, John, like, I'm not even talking about just money, but just flat out, like, knowing what it takes to be a good sports owner. Yeah. And I've seen plenty of owners in this league who have been too patient and don't get rid of the sporting director and don't get rid of the coach and don't do the right thing. But this is just like, it's too much, man. And Vancouver deserves to stay in Vancouver, and they deserve to have an owner who's going to want to be in charge of that club and whatever they're going to sell for. And I hope that they stay at BC Place, and I hope they stay in British Columbia, or maybe they can get their own stadium. BC Place is a different story. But for Montreal, you're just like, blow the whole thing up, man. I mean, this is crazy at this point.
Literally, you look at Montreal sadly and you go, bruh. That is the poster child of bruh right now. Yeah. When you're looking at what's going on. All right. Part of the reason that we have you here is to discuss what's going on with Atlanta United, since we are based here, even though we are, you know, we look at ourselves as national content. But when you look at Atlanta United, the investment, this is Garth's and Chris's club. They brought in Ronnie Dyla. What did you think about the offseason changes as you have a team trying to understand what Ronnie Dyla wants them to do in game state on a weekly basis?
I'm still trying to figure it out. I mean, like when I saw the headlines coming across and everything like that, I sort of was like, okay, like, I don't want to say this makes sense, but you're putting some good pieces and some successful pieces in Major League Soccer into place for what should be a banner year for Atlanta United, or you know, at least on paper, whatever that means. The Ronnie Dyla hire itself, I found to be interesting, not because he's not a good coach, but just because of where he's been and sort of his steps going to Standard Liège, maybe not necessarily having the success that he wanted to, and then taking the other job and now coming back to Major League Soccer. And I was just sort of like, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the conversations and the people who interviewed for that job, and then how they came to the conclusion on Ronnie Dyla to be the best person to put in charge of this project at this point in time with the club. Anything Garth touches typically turns to gold. So like, I'm never going to question arguably like the godfather of the front offices in Major League Soccer. And still so much to sort out in terms of what this team is actually going to look like. And I'm sure we'll get into that. But like, my first, it wasn't a head scratcher necessarily. It was just like, I would love to like hear the conversations and Ronnie Dyla. You know, I was a huge fan of the football that NYCFC was playing. And, you know, and keep in mind that that was a group that hadn't gotten past the conference semifinals in five straight years. And then he brings them to an MLS Cup and wins against a good Portland side on the road. And we'll never forget, you know, the late goal and the whole thing. But yeah, just very, very interesting hire and very interesting makeup of this group. And in terms of previous MLS success,
you add Latte Lott coming in from Middlesbrough for 20 plus. You add that to the mix where you have an Alexei Miranchuk, you've got Saba Lobjanidze, you bring in a Mateusz Klik, and like I said, I made the joke earlier in the show that basically you go to DC United and it's like, I got a pack of Marlboro Reds, a Zingers, and a packet of a Big League Chew, and DC's like, okay, you know, and that's what you end up, and they still have to pay most of Mateusz Klik's work.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of pieces assembled, once again, mixing with what you got from the academy and all of the younger players that are here. And they're hitting on some pieces, and I think that there's a lot of intrigue about, okay, how long is it going to take for all this stuff, when healthy, to get together? And then what's it going to look like? And the anticipation there is obviously huge.
It's huge, and I think that probably the frustrating thing for Atlanta United fans is going to be, There's no date on this, on when it's going to come good and if it's going to come good. I don't think that it's an if. I do think it's a when. And Kindred D. St. Aubin and I, my broadcast partner, were having this conversation in the middle of the Sporting Kansas City LAFC game, because Sporting obviously are off to a bad start. I would throw them into the bad category as well. And I love Peter Vermees. He's always great with us. And I do wish that club success, because I think it's an important club in Major League Soccer. But we were talking about how, like, when do you really start to look at the sample size, and at what point during the season do you say, okay, this is what this team is all about? And I wanted to say probably week 10, but Sporting Kansas City was a good example of how you can't do that, because 2 years ago they went winless in their first 10, and then they end up being the best side of Major League Soccer from May 4th until the end of the season, knocking off St. Louis in the postseason. So for Atlanta, I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, I was like thinking about it today while I was cooking breakfast. I was like, Miguel Almiron, why hasn't it looked like it should for Miggy? Playing on turf. Getting used to playing on turf again. I mean, and I'm not saying that my men's league in Cincinnati is any comparison to Major League Soccer, but I was
what?
Playing. It's not. It's not. Breaking news. It's just not. But we do have a plus 14 goal differential through our first two games.
Excellent.
Shout out to Real Sociedads in Cincinnati. But, I, like, playing on turf comparatively to playing on whatever surface you're going to play on in the Premier League, I think that that's something he's going to have to readjust to. I think that the front line and the front four in particular, because you invested so much money in it, Atlanta fans are going to be impatient, to say the least, if it's not going to come good in the first several weeks. But I do think that that's going to come good at some point in time. When? I have no idea. But, like, being patient with that, getting Brooks Lennon healthy, because I do think that, I mean, like, look at the goals that Lotte Lotta is scoring. Like, Brooks Lennon is one of the best deliverers of the ball in Major League Soccer, you know, like maybe a step below Julian Gressel. But you just got to give him time. You got to give everybody time to figure it out. And, like, John, for the life of me, this international window in March, like five weeks into the season, like, just, oh God, I'm so sick of it. And it's just, so I don't get in trouble, Greg Berhalter is the one who's, you know, was going on record and saying it, just like, why are we playing in this international window?
He said it.
I didn't. I'm just sticking with Triple G here. But it's just like, what a frustrating, you know, 2 weeks, because we have no idea what the player availability is going to be for those guys who are coming from CONMEBOL, who are coming from all over the place.
AFCON.
And AFCON, 2 weeks without some of your best players and getting punished for having international, like, just miss me with that whole thing. I'm sorry, but it's just, it's tired.
Well, yeah. And to your point about Miguel Almiron, there's always the self-imposed pressure of returning and being the idea of the prodigal son, where he's someone who is as loved and as admired as he was in round number one. He goes to Newcastle, has all the success, wants to come back. And there's always that pressure on the inside about, okay, I'm back. I have to perform. I have to produce here. And I think that, to your point about playing on turf, is part of it as well. But I think that just that self-imposed pressure that the Real Sociedads have as well, try to keep that goal difference up, I'm sure that the pressure is there, and it gives him a, you know, his own little bit of agita that he's got to work past.
I couldn't agree more. And I don't know if that's necessarily an excuse, but more so just a reality. And I think for Miggy, you know, he left in such a strange time in terms of, like, the transition of Major League Soccer. And, like, he's been gone for, what, 4 or 5 years? Like, Major League Soccer has evolved into another era since he's left. So I think that getting used to a slightly higher level of play, getting used to the turf. And I see the comments in the chat that, like, Atlanta's turf isn't like anybody else's turf, but no turf is like actual real grass every single weekend in the Premier League. So I get that, but I'm with you. I think that there's a level of that. And right now, what do you guys have? Two goal scorers in Edwin Mosquera and Lotte Lott. Like, nobody else has scored a goal up until this point. So you got to get everybody clicking on, you know, and get the confidence, right? Because there is so much expectation behind this team. There has been a historic amount of money invested into this front line. Of course, that's going to come with pressure, particularly in a league where, you know, it's meant to try to sort of bring you back down to reality where you're not able to invest in other parts. But Atlanta have clearly done such a good job, and Garth, you know, put his magic wand on this whole thing. So I only think it's a matter of time. I really do.
I just have this vision now of him with the top hat sitting there, and he's,
yes,
a wand over the top, and he taps, yeah, the hat, you know. To your point about Sporting Kansas City, how does, you know, and I've had this conversation on the show before, where how does Peter Vermes have a conversation with Peter Vermes about Peter Vermes? You know, is it in a room with two chairs, kind of like Judge Smales and Danny Noonan, where he's in both roles?
It's something along those lines.
Peter, we need to have a talk. What about?
Yeah,
Peter, we need to have a talk about you. And he just runs from one seat to the other to have the conversation. That's the only thing I can figure, man.
Well, there's one more voice in the room now, and that is Mike Burns, who theoretically is the sporting director. I'm not exactly sure what the hierarchy looks like of, like, if Mike technically answers to Peter, or if they're on the same playing field and they both answer to the ownership group. I have no earthly idea.
I went behind the bar, basically. It's like,
I
need to have a talk with you. And it's like, judge,
let's do it. Yeah.
Over here.
What I do know is that they haven't won since mid-September. Mm-hmm. What I do know is that Children's Mercy Park is not nearly as full as it should be. What I do know is that there's groans from the crowd when they are running through the same pattern of play over and over and over again and not able to break down back lines. What I do know is that this group should be playing better. And I'm not just saying because of the money that they invested. And if we're going to go with the same logic of Atlanta United, I'm going to go with the same logic of Sporting, that it is going to need some time. And I would have to imagine that Peter Vermes has not been given a long leash, but at least there is a leash, right? Like, because you can't invest the most amount of money you've invested in the club since 2020 and then get rid of him at the first sign of danger. It was going to take a little bit. But again, Kendra and I were having this conversation. Does he change formations? Does he mix it up a little bit in terms of their approach? Do they really need to have the ball 72% of the time against LAFC, a team that you knew was going to sit in and just try to hit you on the counter? Probably not, because you could have played 180 minutes of that game and you weren't going to score. It was just one of those nights. So that one's a head-scratcher for me in terms of how long that ownership group is going to wait to potentially fire a guy who's been there for 17 years. And not for nothing, John, but he just made his 700th appearance either as a coach or a player. He is an institution within that club, and to get rid of him is a delicate matter. And I hate to say that, and I know that, like, I'm a big Liverpool fan, and a lot of, you know, fans will sometimes get upset at the fact that we don't treat legends the right way at Liverpool, but they clearly are doing the right thing in terms of setting themselves up for success with the future of the club. And now with Sporting Kansas City and how embedded he's been, not only from a coach, sporting director, minister of culture, whatever you want to call him over there, It's a delicate manner if you are going to move on from him, because he has been Sporting Kansas City for so long.
He is the Minister of Kwan at Sporting Kansas City, by the way. All right, so I'll ask. Trent Alexander-Arnold to Real Madrid, what's your gut?
Oh, he's gone.
What do you think now that he is out the door? And Arne Slot has proven that he's okay. He's all right in the Premier League. But yeah, losing Trent Alexander-Arnold, what does that do to your starting 11, per se? Or are you just going to throw more money at a problem, bring somebody in?
No, I think that you start Connor Bradley. You obviously need some depth because Joe Gomez can't stay healthy for the life of him. And as long as we don't lose Verge, I'm even okay losing Mo at this point in time. And
really?
I think not okay with it. I've come to terms with it. I've sat with it. I've meditated on it.
You get it.
I've cried over it. Yeah. I've grieved the loss of Mohamed Salah already in my head. Sort of like Roman from Succession. I think that I've pre-grieved, but like I'm probably going to be a mess on the day that his transfer is announced. But anyway, yeah. Trent, we can live without, right? I do think that from a set piece and that big diagonal ball, which has become such a big thing of Liverpool's and the metrics behind that, but we need to keep Verge. I consistently think that Verge is the most important player, not maybe necessarily the best player on Liverpool, but the most important player to what Liverpool are able to do in the Premier League and Champions League.
How underrated is Shaman Kelleher between the sticks?
Underrated, but like I was arguing with somebody on SiriusXM the other day. They were like, Kelleher should be the starter for the rest of the season. I was like, don't for a second think that Alisson isn't the best goalkeeper in the world.
Yeah.
They just happen to have the best number two who would start on 2/3 of Premier League teams.
Yeah, and so I think that when you're on a team that is as great as the run that Liverpool is having right now, you're going to have those dudes that when you're called upon, you got to step up, because once again, the expectation's there and the foreknowledge is there that we know you're good. So, you know, in the Gummy Bear Cup competition, when we need you, go ahead and you know, do your best, whether it's, you know, a second leg where you know it's a blowout city and you're okay and you just take care of business and everything's cool. I know we're up against it with you. Hit the promo for me. What's going on your planet with you? And by the way, Kendra D. St. Alban, that's all one word last time I checked, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
The whole thing.
Yes.
It's not
yes.
just Kendra or Kendra beat D. St. Alban. Literally, it is one
Kendra
word.
Kendra D. St. Alban. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Hit the promo for me. What's going on?
Obviously, on the call for Atlanta and NYCFC this weekend, I'm going to be with Kendra D. St. Alban. God bless you. Thank you very much. Gesundheit. And we will be on MLS Season Pass. I've got CONCACAF Champions Cup coming up with Fox Sports 1, second week of April, doing second leg of Monterrey against Cruz Azul. Not Cruz Azul. God, who am I thinking of? Is it Cruz Azul? I don't know.
It's upper right-hand section of the bracket, right?
Sure, something like that. Yeah, I've got 2 weeks. I got 2 weeks to be able to prep for that. It'll come to me at some point. My brain is still mushed with first round of U.S. Open Cup action and those one camera shows for Portland Hearts of Pine and such. But no, you can find me at TN Terrans on Twitter and Instagram. I don't post all that much, but if you want to go do it, go ahead by all means. It's probably going to be dog content at this point in time.
Well, dog content and Monopoly content on the IG, the Gram, or the Insta, or whatever the kids call it these days. But it's a Club America and Cruz Azul. In the
there you go. Yeah, there you go.
In the quarters.
Yep. But anyway, yeah, it's been awesome, John. I appreciate you. I appreciate the show. And I am most certainly when I'm bored Friday night, maybe this Friday when I'm in Atlanta, because my one friend who I was supposed to hang out with, he bailed on me to go to a wedding.
Dude,
I can't believe that's selfish.
Was it his own or is it someone else?
Somebody he doesn't even care about. And he's just like, I'm going to go to this wedding. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll just hop on John's show again on Friday.
So, hey, that's what we're here for. So then we need to get you eating recommendations, I guess.
Yes, please.
Hey, look, I have
listened and seen the broadcasts where you have gotten into discussions about food. So I know that food is a major topic for you.
Yeah. What, you've heard me talk about ice cream nachos before? Is that what you've heard me talk
about?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and then there's also, did you hear about the s'mores nachos in Huntsville?
No.
Huntsville City is unveiling, I think, 1,200 calories worth of s'mores nachos season in MLS Next Pro. I swear to God, it looked like one of those hot dog eating competitions where you get the six foot long hot dog and you got to eat it.
Yeah.
And you know, Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut are like, nah, fam, not happening. And so in Huntsville, no lie, Huntsville City Football Club and MLS Next Pro has s'mores on nachos. I'm frightened.
Interesting.
One or the other, I'm cool. Together, not so much.
But have you had ice cream nachos, or how do you feel about that?
I can have one or the other, but not both.
See, I had the ice cream nachos, and apparently, because I only got to Chicago in 2020 when they moved from SeatGeek to Soldier Field. Supposedly, right. The ice cream nachos at Soldier Field are far inferior to those at SeatGeek Stadium. I've never had the ones at SeatGeek Stadium before, but I'm like, it's ice cream nachos. You take a bunch of salty tortilla chips and you throw an ice cream sundae on top of it. How much better could it possibly be? I'm just like, I still don't think it's going to taste good. And it's like how I feel about, you know something? Skyline Chili has actually been kind to me.
I was going to ask, since in Cincinnati, Skyline Chili, yay or nay?
Yeah, yes, I guess. But like, it's deemed as a
food. I can go to Steak and Shake and get it. It's called a chili three-way.
No. See, that's you're going to get in trouble with stuff like that. I would never say something like that, ever, because people know where I live here. People know where I live here, and I can't just say you can go get it in Steak and Shake. I am pro Skyline Chili. The only time that I've had it and that I enjoyed it was after a few beverages at a Cincinnati Bengals game, watching Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase link up for like 3 touchdowns. I think that's when you're supposed to have it. I'm not going to go and like get it for dinner tonight, but sure, it's fun.
I mean, Skyline Chili and some Hootie Delight, and you know, or maybe go to the Sunset Beach Club off of the UC campus and modulate. I don't know.
And meditate on Mohamed Salah potentially leaving Liverpool.
Yes. Correct.
Yes. With a belly full of Skyline Chili.
Oof, man, that's just like 9,000 calories staring right at me, and I would have to actually go out onto. My playing days are long gone. Mm-hmm. I'm good at standing on sidelines and ranting and gesticulating and looking like I'm actually saying something of impact.
Are you ranting or are you yelling? Or is that a nice way of saying that you're barking at officials or barking at people who you enjoy watching play?
Yeah. And there's no real rationale behind it. It's just, you know, I'm cutting a heel promo basically on the sideline. Yeah. You're sitting here and just like doing this kind of bit. And the center ref looks at me and is like, bruh. Bang, you know, shut up, you know, one of those kind of things. I see. That's how I would be in a situation like that. I could have the Skyline, but you'd have to have the Hootie Delight or the whatever, and you know, work at that.
Well, I feel like I need to plan my whole week around the Skyline, like the following 32 to 48 hours after I had that. And I'm not saying it's because of the alcohol, but like I had a different gym regimen, like because I just simply couldn't be put in a position where like my body was getting ramped up too much, if you feel what I'm saying. Not to get too graphic. I know this is a family show, but anyway. Yeah.
When is this a family show? When
you give off a family like patriarchal vibe. You just seem like the guy at the head of the Thanksgiving table who's gonna make a nice toast before we all dig in. You're a middler, as Larry David would say. You're somebody who can sit in the middle of the table and chat with everybody. No? Is this
I am a sternum poker if ever there was.
Oh boy.
I'm literally the guy that goes like this.
Yeah.
And just because
that could be a good thing.
Just I'm not, yeah, I'm not going fat head and it's here on the set doesn't mean that I'm a middler.
But I'm not saying you're like Ted Lasso, hunky-dory, and everything's filled with rainbow and butterflies. I'm not saying you're that guy, but you bring a lot. You're a glue guy in the locker room. You're going to keep everything together, even if you're going to poke basically everybody at the table.
I'm the glue guy in the locker room that encourages chaos on a morning show.
Sometimes you need that guy.
What happened? I don't know. They went off on a rant. I don't know what happened. I was just there. They started talking. I let them go. That's just how it was.
Yeah. And then the coach asks you, hey, John, can you reel them back in now? Like, I know you did your whole bit, but can you bring them back to planet Earth? No.
No.
Oh,
no.
Man.
It's like they're on their own, boss. You know, I tried my best and they went off and they're running. I mean, that's just how it goes. All right. So you need what? Probably barbecue recommendations.
Sure. Whatever you think that I should be going to eat on a Friday night in Atlanta, just give it to me.
Yeah, well, then we got to work on that. So, okay, tell you what. If you come in and crash on the Friday morning in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll go over this. So you've given the audience a couple days to think about it.
Deal.
So you come back in the 10 o'clock hour, whatever else chaos is there, we'll go over all the other matches. We'll talk Atlanta United, and we'll talk about food choices and how much time you have on the table. You're looking for a good brunch on Saturday before you head to Mercedes Benz.
Nothing heavy. Day of the game. We can't be doing that, John. And you know why?
Yes, I do.
You know why? Even though the bathroom in the booth at the Benz is right in the booth, we just can't be having those sorts of problems. If it's the Houston Dynamo at Shell Energy Stadium, pal. Okay, now we're talking. That's a horse of a different color.
There's a reason we call it Hell in a Shell, sir.
Oh my goodness. I mean, like the empty Gatorade bottles. And now when you have a female broadcast partner, you can't be doing that. Like when I was working with Devin Kerr, yes, I could potentially get away with that in the sweltering heat of the summer in July after I went for a run for whatever reason. And I drank 17 gallons of water. And it's like halftime. I got 3 minutes. I can execute. We can get it done.
Or Devin can cover for you if it's in a full screen.
Sure. And he's acting as sort of like the partition between me and the rest of the universe. Now as a female broadcast partner, and God bless Kendra D. St. Aubin, but we can't be doing this nonsense. So anyway, I don't know how we got here. This is a family show. I apologize.
This whole family show thing that you're talking about, I know not of what you speak, sir.
By the way, we have an intruder. My dog has decided that he's not getting enough attention.
Oh, okay. We see an open door. And
come here, Nala. Yes.
There you go.
There's John. This is not a family show. I don't know who misled me on that.
Well, and also, by the way, here underneath the left-hand table is the rowdy man, and he's in charge. Mm-hmm. And he is OWT. He is out.
Interesting.
He is the guard who's in charge of it all. And so, once again, you see how the show degrades. I am the king of the tangent. I'm like, oh, squirrel. You know, that's
all good. All good hosts have a healthy, if not debilitating, version of ADD.
Debilitating is probably the word.
By the way, what am I seeing in the chat? Because I think I might be headed to the airport for the 10 o'clock. So bomb biscuits on Highland and Fred's Dylan Butler cheese. You're gonna have to stop there with the cheesesteak nonsense.
Fred's cheesesteak, Fox Brothers barbecue, but I can give you other barbecue. David is giving you Fox Brothers barbecue. Can give you another couple of barbecue joints that can add, but it depends on your Uber range and your travel. So that is, are you renting a car or are you Ubering?
No, Ubering. And I don't really like to go further than like 10 or 15 minutes. Okay. I don't know why. It's just a rule that I have with the hotel. By the way, why are we recommending cheesesteaks in a city other than Philadelphia? Because I grew up in Jersey. My dad went to a college in Pennsylvania, in Philly, and like, I'm a true cheesesteak kind of guy.
Okay.
Don't say it. Don't be like, this is different. Don't do it.
No, but we do here in town have Woody's, which is from Philly. Woody's is a Philadelphia-based and origined cheesesteak joint.
Yeah, but you
lunch, though.
You and I both know that those things don't travel. Just because the place in Cincinnati says New York bagels, it ain't New York bagels. And that's, I'll tell you what. There's anything that I'm struggling with living in Cincinnati, it's the pizza and bagels. I can't do it. And then their best deli with their sandwiches, it's just not. I can't do it, John. I'm from Jersey originally. I just need to go back where the water is pure.
I was going to say, pure what, sir?
Well, I'll tell you what, no, but the water in New York is actually the cleanest water in the United States. Did you know that?
I was not aware of this.
There's the longest tunnel on, listen to this, the longest tunnel on planet Earth is actually the pipeline that they have running from the Catskill Mountains running down into New York City. So it's really just runoff water, and it's fantastic. But anyway.
Okay. So
digressing.
I would recommend, so Fox Brothers, I would say, is a part of the discussion, Fat Matt's for barbecue.
Okay.
Also, Fat Matt's Rib Shack. Go Hungry for both of those. But yeah, we can definitely get you oriented when it comes to food. And so Friday would have to be the heavier meal of the two. Saturday would have to be something brunchy, probably Martin's for breakfast or somewhere in there. So, okay. So we've got 48 hours to think about it, or 40.
We'll be fine.
We'll be fine. We'll figure it out. So if you're crashing on Friday, once again, that'll be the main topic. Where does the man eat?
Deal.
And so go spend time with Nala, and definitely keep an eye on things. Great to see you, my friend. Don't be a stranger. And we'll see you whenever you crash. And if it happens to be in 47 hours, so be it.
All right. Appreciate you, John. Great family show. Big fan.
Yes. Tyler, get out of here.
Looking forward to seeing Tyler and Kendra D. St. Aubin on Apple TV Plus for the matchup with Atlanta United this weekend and NYC, and for every matchup that he has in 2025 involving Major League Soccer. And so to wrap things up this week, we talk about cool stories and storylines and things like that when it comes to the world of soccer and how we like to kind of introduce everyone to each other. One of those stories that we have been part and parcel to and helped try and expand the growth of the storyline comes to us from the Marshall Islands Soccer Federation. And what they're trying to do with the Marshall Islands, you may have seen the stories, you may have been seeing the coverage, you might have seen the gear. Riyad Mahrez actually wearing or displaying one of the new jerseys that is attached to the Marshall Islands Soccer Federation. And with the announcement that the plan is to have a tournament in Arkansas, the first ever tournament for the Marshall Islands Federation, an 11v11 tournament against three other territories attached to the United States, we decided to catch up with our friends from the Marshall Islands Soccer Federation. Here's our conversation with Matt Webb just to kind of get an update as to where things stand.
All right, so we have a bit of a collision here, so let me see what's going on. Morning, Matt. How are you?
Hey, John. How you doing? Great to see you.
You tell me, brother. This might be a bit of a crossover with other guests that are coming in. I know that I wanted to catch up with. So is it just you, or is it you and Lloyd? What are we doing?
I've got the last minute call up. I'm afraid you've got the understudy. Lloyd sent me a very frantic message a few months ago saying,
It's all good. No,
I'm going to make it. So, yeah.
No, it's all good. So literally, I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes with you before our buddy Nino Torres comes in and we tour the planet. I just wanted to get a quick update from you about what's going on with our friends there with the Marshall Islands. I know that Lloyd had been on the island. I know the Kickstart campaign. So literally, this is just going to be like you and me for a couple of minutes, and the door is going to be always open. I figured, not knowing who was going to be here today, I figured I'd go with the OG jersey. So the OG. Give us the update about what's going on. What's the latest?
Yeah, so you may have seen last week, last Wednesday, we announced our first ever 11-a-side international fixtures. Because we are maybe a little bit crazy, we decided to not just do one fixture, let's hold an entire tournament. So we're bringing the Outrigger Cup, being the tournament we penned last year. So we're bringing back to Springdale, Arkansas in August of this year. And we're really excited to welcome Guam, Turks and Caicos and the U.S. Virgin Islands to Springdale in August. Obviously, we've taken on an enormous undertaking. You've seen we've got a Kickstarter. Obviously, we're gratefully receiving kind of any pledges, which include kind of rewards such as live streaming tickets, fan packs, even a chance to be a part of a backstage team as well. So if there's anyone crazy out there who wants to be part of the kind of coaching team, that's an opportunity as well. So we're opening this up and obviously, yeah, looking to get this off the ground.
No doubt. So I know that the blitz has been amazing so far. Right now, you're at about 20% of your goal. Looking at things in U.S. dollars, you're looking for just under 26,000 right now. You're at just under 5 in a little under a week's time. That's very, very cool starting this runway that you have.
Yeah, so incredibly grateful for everyone who's pledged so far. And even if people aren't in a position to pledge, even just sharing our story, engaging and sending us well wishes are always welcome. Just keeping it positive all the time. I mean, the Kickstarter amount isn't the full amount that's needed. So we're looking to raise total of over 100,000 US dollars. Obviously, that costs... If you're looking behind the scenes, we're looking at around 30K to bring team members from RMI to the US. And then obviously as a host nation, we have to kind of cover the costs of the visiting teams as well. And you're looking at around 20K for each of those as well. So whilst we're trying to do things as efficiently as possible, it's kind of a bit of a behind the scenes of how much it costs to host an international match. And we're looking to, obviously there's a bit of a shortfall between the Kickstarter and the total amount, which we're looking to raise through sponsorship and yeah, any other means.
What has it been like to see, obviously, this first round of folks and the support that's there and all of that? So what has it been like for you guys to see this groundswell of support? Because I know that you and Lloyd and everybody, you guys have been going through the media car wash trying to sit there and get the word out. But what's the early response been like?
Oh, it's been so overwhelmingly positive. I think it's what the ever since we kind of really kickstarted this project back in January of 23, I think it was now, to the kind of world, it's what everyone's been wanting to see. So we felt a lot of pressure on our shoulders to do it justice. Obviously, we had other options of how the different routes we could have gone down for our first ever 11-a-side match, but we felt this was kind of the appropriate way to do it justice as well. So yeah, we're incredibly grateful, overwhelmed as always with the positive support, and obviously it's definitely been the world that has enabled this project to succeed. So we're looking forward to kind of everyone coming together again and us putting on a show for them.
No doubt. When it came to determining Springdale, Arkansas, John Brown University, it's a no-brainer. And before you came in, I tried to explain that right up there in the Four Corners, up there in northwest Arkansas, in eastern Oklahoma, really it's northeastern Oklahoma outside of Tulsa, right there in that Four Corners, it is one of the highest concentrations of Marshallese population outside of the islands themselves. So it seemed like it was a natural for it to be there, even though there have been clinics in the past up in the upper Midwest, up in Minnesota and such. How did you come upon Springdale and John Brown, and what was their response like in northwest Arkansas when you was like, yeah, we want to do this?
Yeah, so initially, obviously, during the planning phase, we obviously wanted to host the match in the Marshall Islands itself, but us being a non-FIFA nation and the costs and time it takes for opposing teams to come to us, there wasn't exactly an overwhelming response of people wishing to come to the Marshall Islands to play that first game. Hopefully that's going to come with time. So in the future, we will be playing lots of matches in our home nation. Springdale, Arkansas, as you alluded to, being the greatest population of Marshallese people, we've built some really strong connections there. So we've held two women's national team camps there, both in February 24 and March 25, just gone. So we've built some really strong connections there. When we've been there, we've met with the coaches at John Brown University and also the University of Arkansas too. So we felt like we've got some really strong connections behind us and people wishing us well as well. So that's how that's come about.
What else can folks do in addition to the Kickstarter campaign and buying the gear? And I always explain to folks that when you go to the store, you can get all the gear and it comes from you and Player Layer and everybody else and the relationships that you have there in England. But the scarves come from here in the office.
Yeah.
And in our small way, we've been really humbled that you guys embraced us to help out as a part of the process as well. What else can folks do outside of the Kickstarter campaign, buy the gear? What else can folks do to help move the things forward?
For me, it's word of mouth. I think I'm always conscious of asking people to put their hands in their pockets and in their wallets all the time to contribute. I think even if you're just sharing our story, if you're on social media, you can share it. If you can tell your friends about something interesting you read about, like the Marshall Islands first ever match, that will help us massively. So outside of pledging on our Kickstarter, as you mentioned, supporting us with merchandise, just spreading the word. I think the thing I get the most from about this project is teaching people about Marshall Islands. Obviously, I'm not Marshallese myself, but I feel like such a part of a project now, and I feel humbled to be able to tell people and spread the good word.
As are we, my friend. Do not be a stranger, please. You and Lloyd, just bang on a door at any time. Let us know what's going on. We're going to, obviously, let's put it this way. We've already got it marked on the calendar about coming out there at the very least for the second half of that week for the semifinals or the outrigger and for the final on the 14th and the 16th. So I've already earmarked that space. And the boss, by the way, who has her own fat head here on set, she's like, we're going, right? I said, yeah, of course we're going.
You've got VIP seats, John. Don't you worry. You and the
team. It's all good. No, thank you, my friend. Do not be a stranger. Bang on our door at any time. Let us know what we can do to help and get the word out. And like I said, figured I'd bust out the OG jersey for you today. Be safe, my friend. We'll catch up with you soon.
Great to see you. Thank you, everyone.
There goes Matt Webb. And so Matt gives us the quick update on the Marshall Islands and what's going on there. As always, great to catch up with Matt, Technical Director Lloyd Hours, and find out what's going on with the Marshall Islands Soccer Federation, as they are the last country on this planet trying to assemble a National Soccer Federation. And they've been putting in great work, starting with futsal and hoping to have the Outrigger Cup in Arkansas, northwest Arkansas, in the middle of August. We'll keep you posted on the story as it all goes forward. That's another go-round of SDHAM. And the best of the week that was. We can't wait to come back and hang out with you here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section and the Odyssey app at 929thegame.com.
and kind of share our love of the game with you that we have every single week with all the guests that drop by. So you can follow us at Soccer Down Here on X. You can follow the SDH Network on YouTube. You can also follow Soccer Down Here on Instagram, IG, or the Gram, or whatever the kids say these days. We are also on Threads, and we are also on Blue Sky. So you can join us and be a part of the conversation in a bunch of different places. So, mucho placer, play it safe. That's another go-round of SDH AM, 9:05 to 11:05, at least Monday through Friday on the SDH Network. I'm John Nelson. Thanks for dropping by. Play it safe, everybody. We'll see you next week.